Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Massachusetts Congressman Michael Capuano is not the only longtime incumbent congressman facing a serious primary challenge this year in the state. In the 1st District, which covers western Mass and parts of central Mass, the state's longest-serving congressman, Richard Neal, is facing a black Muslim lawyer with only a fraction of the campaign money Neal enjoys. Just like the Mike Capuano, Ayanna Presley race in the 7th District, the challenger is touting progressive credentials and a call for change, while the incumbent is touting experience. Reporter Karen Brown has the story.
Oh, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
I went to Elms, too.
What'd you major in?
Tahira Amatulwadud walks around the halls of a narrow, wood-trimmed office building in Chicopee, her campaign headquarters. In her first run for office, Amatulwadud, a 44-year-old family and civil rights attorney, appears undeterred by her steep political learning curve. She says she's been to more than 300 campaign events since she announced her candidacy last December against Richard Neal, who's been in Congress 29 years. Even Neal, on a recent visit to his campaign office, suggests she's got a chance.
Well, you can see by the number of people working in the campaign headquarters here this morning, it's pretty substantial, so I'm taking it seriously.
In the last couple of months, this primary campaign has gotten national attention as a race to watch. That's after another woman of color, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, beat a longtime incumbent in New York City. Amatulwadud certainly doesn't mind the comparison. Both women are running on progressive issues like single-payer health care, universal preschool, and debt-free education. But she also points out the Massachusetts district, 87 urban, rural, and suburban communities, has a very different population than New York.
I always look at myself as being independent in terms of my own identity and not necessarily rushing to align myself with the next exciting thing because that fades.
That said, Ocasio-Cortez's win did give Amatulwadud's campaign a boost of adrenaline.
We saw an uptick in donations and volunteers signing up saying if it could happen there, it can happen here at home.
That's hardly moved her out of underdog status. According to the Federal Election Commission, her campaign has raised about $72,000 this cycle to Neal's $2.4 million. Amatulwadud says that's partly a result of Neal taking PAC money from defense contractors, banks, and insurance companies. She ties those contributions to his recent vote for the large defense bill and his lack of support for single-payer health care.
Having taken this much money from various industries, it's hard to now go and advance policies that might require those industries to take responsibility where they might not want to.
Richard Neal denies any connection between his legislative record and campaign contributions, which also includes some labor unions. He opposed the Republicans' corporate tax cut, says he voted for the defense bill because Western Massachusetts has two military bases, and he says he's not against single-payer health care.
But I'm suggesting that there is an approach that we would take that's evolutionary in nature, but first making sure that the Affordable Care Act is what we build upon.
Neal, who's 69, has the higher name recognition. Before he ran for the House, he was mayor of Springfield. He commonly attends local ribbon cuttings, including many at Union Station, which he pushed to renovate, or recently the Springfield Innovation Center.
Thanks, Nick, very much.
Where he took the opportunity to remind people what he does in Congress.
So the morning of the tax debate, the final showdown, I said, new markets, tax credits, come on. The low-income housing tax credit, you're not going to let this happen, are you really?
Neal has worked his way up to be top Democrat on the powerful Ways and Means Committee. As for why he wants to keep going back to Washington in such a contentious era.
Well, I think part of it's public duty and part of it is a sense that you can have some impact and influence. I mean, it's ambition. And part of it is now the fulfillment of a career of work, which has been generally pretty well regarded by colleagues who agree and disagree with me.
Last year, Neal was the subject of a bit of a revolt when residents in the hill towns took out a newspaper ad accusing the congressman of ignoring his rural districts. He calls that manufactured outrage.
When you consider that you're in session about 8 months a year and trying to get to the 87 cities and towns, I think we've really done pretty well.
Neal doesn't talk much about his opponent's campaign, though he did criticize her for a vote she cast in the 2012 election for Republican Scott Brown over Democrat Elizabeth Warren. That vote only became public when Amatul Wadud herself tweeted that she regretted the decision. She says in that election, she didn't know much about Warren and liked that Brown was a veteran, but that going forward, she's devoted to progressive causes.
And I tell people, look at not only my history and the things that I've done, the way that I've worked with people, and the promises that I've made, and excuse me for that one vote.
Amatul Wadud has also had to answer questions about her Muslim faith. She wears a hijab, and some reactions to her have been blatantly Islamophobic, including an anonymous flyer sent to area voters. In other cases, progressives have wondered whether she would support gay rights or legal abortion if they go against her religion. She says, absolutely.
I'm not here running to be anybody's religious leader. I'm here running to be a public servant. So I'm going to remove the conversation on my personal belief and say, I will protect members of the LGBT community, and I will protect a woman's right to make the decision she needs to make for her body.
Both Amatul Wadud and Neal concede that unless Democrats take back Congress, neither of their agendas will have much of a chance. Whoever wins the first congressional district for the Democrats will be on the November ballot with no Republican challenger. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Karen Brown.